Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
It's a Sunday morning and I'm singing because it's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. And, you know, the weather is just right for it. I enjoyed my ride in. We're going to have a week of cool weather coming up, and that's going to be kind of nice. Cool, I mean, it'll seem cool unless you live your life in the air conditioning, and then you won't notice. Those of us who spend a little time outside will notice. We'll notice. It's going to be really nice. I have been thinking, as a way of celebrating the fact that we are going to have a week that with a little break in the temperature. And this is often happens in August. It'll get hot again, as always does, probably around the last week of August. But we often get a little break in the temperature, and then we get another small break in September, and then it just keeps, you know, it keeps ratcheting down till we get the really cool weather that everyone, you know, that just is inimitable. I mean, this Gulf summer is an experience you can't have anywhere else. I talked to somebody who'd been moved from here up to Louisville, Kentucky, and they said they just don't know. They can't imagine. They can't imagine what summer is like in Mobile. And it is true. It's true. The consistency of the temperatures, the high temperatures all the time. But we're getting a break. I have been thinking a lot about staying cool in Mobile. And I think that's a fair thing to talk about because some of us don't air condition the outside. We spend a lot of time outside. And some of us try to adjust to that. I think a lot about it. And I think about the trees today. One of the ways that and I often talk about the ways that people used to keep cool in Mobile. But it occurs to me that one of the ways that people used to keep cool in Mobile that we don't have as much anymore. And I want to say this again. I was looking at them on the way into work. It's a very important thing to remember are the pines. And I want to emphasize that for just a minute. Just a minute. Let's talk about these pines. Because, you know, we're a city of live oaks now. We weren't a city of live oaks at one time. There's a time when, in fact, it's quite a matter of record. When Mobile, all of Mobile virtually, was a city of pines. The old French maps say this was the pine land. This was the Pinière. This was the old pine land where Midtown was and downtown. And all the way back up to Spring Hill. Spring Hill was settled because of its pines sitting on that hill and those longleaf pines. Well, there's a difference between the pines and the live oaks that we have now in our yards, particularly these younger live oaks. And that is, they both make shade, don't they? That's nice. And we like shade. We like shade. When it's hot outside, it stays cooler. But the pines, we've got a song called Whispering Pines. We should play that sometime, Charlie. The pines allow the breezes to circulate. Just all because their limbs are so high and the breezes are just blowing through them. It's really important. So, you know, in a place as humid as Mobile, the shade is nice, but the big factor is getting that breeze, getting that cooling breeze to blow through, because that's the only way to cool you down is to get the breeze. It's the breeze blowing across your body. It doesn't matter if the breeze is blowing 100 feet up in the air or 100 feet away. That doesn't change your temperature. It's the breeze that's blowing across your body. And pines allow that. The live oaks that we've planted now and a lot of the other trees that we've planted now, the limbs are so low that, yeah, I guess you can scrunch down under them and maybe get in some shade if that's what you want. Certainly you can keep your grass in shade, which will be enough to kill it. But the limbs are so low and they're so thick with leaves so low down that you don't get the breezes. And that's a big thing we've missed. I love, and I just want to say briefly, allow me to say it, we have some beautiful pines. I love pines. And I know all about trees. Let me name the 39 species of oaks that I found in Alabama. They're really neat. They're really interesting. Love to talk about them. They're all native. I love them. I can talk about all the other trees. I love all these other trees. But, man, in my yard, and just, I love pine trees. They're absolutely stunning. They're gorgeous. They're great for your yard. The slash pines that are in Midtown Mobile, the remainder of the longleaf up in Spring Hill, we should cherish those because that's how Mobile kept cool. Just want to remind you of that. They're also kind of good to garden around, but that's another subject. We'll save that. You can ask me about it. But here it is. So it's this breeze moving across you. So I've been thinking a lot about houses and how we build houses and why our old concepts of houses for the South don't work anymore. They don't. The grand front porches don't work because we don't sit on them. The high ceilings don't work because we have air conditioning. The big windows don't work because we don't open them. And fans. So I've been thinking about fans. And let me talk about fans for just a minute. Because it's just like under the pines. We talked about under the pines. You know, one of the reasons that pines are so effective in the South and anywhere in terms of getting those breezes is because the limbs are up and it allows the breezes to move through, and they're effective at cooling you because the breeze touches you. It doesn't matter if the breeze is blowing over the top of the tree. It only matters when the breeze touches you. So you got a fan and you put it in your house, right? Because it's going to lower your energy bills. Can I talk to you about something? It actually increases your energy bills. And it's because you don't understand how fans work. Fans only cool the things that the breeze touches. It doesn't cool anything else in the room. It doesn't keep the room cool. It keeps you cool. Just like those breezes. Doesn't matter if the breeze is going over the top of the tree. It's only the breeze that catches you. That catches you. So, we're selling. I've been working on a house and fixed the house up, and we got the requisite ceiling fans, and everybody said, oh, man, you don't need a, you know, well, let's put some ceiling fans in. I said, well, you know, I don't know that ceiling fans actually are going to make that much difference in terms of energy bills. I said, sure it does. I said, well, no, it probably doesn't. It doesn't make a difference in energy bills unless, well, it does make a difference because actually fans produce heat when they're working. They produce more heat than an old incandescent light bulb, which generates a lot of heat. They actually produce a lot of heat as they're working. The fan is only working if the breeze touches you. If that breeze touches you, they only work if you're in the room, and they only lower your energy bill if you actually turn up your air conditioning. So if you set your air conditioner at 76 and you turn it to 78 and you turn your fan on, you might save a little bit on your energy bill. If you keep your air conditioner at 76 and you turn the fan on, you actually increase your energy bill. You don't offset anything. Another thing about fans that's worth thinking about while we're at it. So everybody, because you can get them cheap, is buying these little 45-inch fans, 48-inch, 50-inch fans, 52-inch fans. Did I mention that fans only work when the breeze touches you? And you buy one of those little dinky fans, and you turn them on, and you've got to go stand right under it. Now, how are you going to stand right under it? The bigger the fan, the more efficient it is. That's the way it works. And the better it cools you, and the better it cools the room. That's just the way it is. You want a fan that's at low speed. So while you're looking at fans, I know you can get them cheap. Don't talk to me about fans for aesthetics. You can get these cheap little 48-inch fans and put them in your room. It won't make any difference on your comfort, on the room's comfort, and it will actually increase your electric bill for the summer. Just want to think about what it's like living in the South and how to make use of it. How to live a little better, huh? How to think about where we are. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things this morning. I got so much okra, I don't know what to do with it. Well, I kind of know, but we're going to do better with it. We got a lot of other things coming on. And speaking of pines,
my girl, don't lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night? Come on, tell me, baby. In the pines, where the sun don't ever shine. I was shivering all night through. My girl, where will you go? I'm going where the cold wind blows. Where's that, baby? In the pines, where the sun don't ever shine. I bet you will do all night too. My girl, don't you lie to me. Tell me, where did you sleep last night?
Attention Mobile, announcing a one-day sale Saturday, August 4th of the best Mobile Bay waterfront opportunities in a decade. The final phase of a successful Mobile Bay community just 10 minutes from downtown stalled during the recession. It's time to sell at below the market prices. Saturday, August 4th only, $10,000 off all dockable waterfront home sites with direct access to Mobile Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. $5,000 off all water access home sites with free covered boat slips. Some examples, direct bay access with covered boat slips was $19,900, now $14,900. 2 acres dockable waterfront with covered boat slips was $44,900, now $34,900. Buy on Mobile Bay in a prime location with spectacular boating and fishing for 50 cents on the dollar or less. Direct bay access, $14,900. Dockable waterfront, $34,900. Call or click 877-BIGVIEW.com for an early appointment. That's 877-BIGVIEW, 877-244-8439.
We all know someone who believes their plants are more than, well, just plants. They feed, water them, they talk to them, even name them.
Perk up, Fred. Fred, wake up.
People who love their plants just seem to get a certain something from helping them grow. Non-plant people don't really understand, but Cecil Christenberry and all the folks at Old Time Feed in Fairhope understand your plants and your lawn and have the expertise you need to keep your plants thriving. Old Time Feed has been in the nursery, feed, and seed business since man landed on the moon. So buy the highest quality plants and get the best advice to make sure you start off with healthy specimens that will brighten up your home and your yard that will thrive in our coastal climate from Old Time Feed. For homeowners, contractors, and yeah, even supplies for home chicken coops, Old Time Feed in Fairhope at Highway 98 and Greeno Road.
You've been through a lot lately, an unforgiving economy that's impacted you both financially and emotionally. At UBS, we understand how you feel. UBS financial advisor Drew Wing can tap into the global resources of UBS and advise you on how to invest in the market while protecting your principal with FDIC insurance. And while Drew has a unique global perspective, he also has a local presence right here in Mobile. You can count on Drew to give you the face-to-face attention you deserve, answer your questions, provide clear direction, and offer advice that's relevant and trustworthy. Global perspective, local presence, protection. Call UBS financial advisor Drew Wing at 251-510-0748. Advice you can trust starts with a conversation. So call 251-510-0748 today. $200,000 minimum account balance. UBS Financial Services, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Taxman, that was Lead Belly. You remember Lead Belly? Lead Belly was one of the great folk singers who sung in our last bump music in the Pines. Kind of a depressing view of the Pines, but it's an interesting song that Lead Belly sang. Lead Belly, a lot of what we know about really traditional blues music, an amazing amount of it, came from just listening to Lead Belly, who was on, if I remember, I think he was on death row. I think he had murdered somebody. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he got off. I don't remember. But maybe he wasn't on death row. But he murdered somebody. He was in prison in Huntsville, Texas. I believe that's where the prison was. Lomax, it was Alan Lomax, one of the folk song collectors, went around and recorded Lead Belly early on, and he became a minor celebrity, but influenced a tremendous number of people. Lead Belly had a huge impact on rock and roll music in the early days. Really, really interesting thing. Pines was the theme, and I just want to emphasize how much, you know, in Europe, in Spain, and in the Mediterranean areas, Italy, they cherish their pines. They love them, and they're beautiful. And I thought, you know, these are beautiful pines when I was over there in Spain, and how much they love these pines. They're really beautiful. And I'm just looking at these slash pines this morning thinking, gosh, these are beautiful trees. Why don't we appreciate pines more? We should. It's an interesting thing. If you have thoughts on that, just give me a call. So Rusty, I'll identify that pine just as soon as I can put my glasses on and look at it. It looks like a loblolly from here, but I'll put my glasses on and spruce that thing up and see what I can do about figuring out what kind of pine it is. Let's talk a little bit about living on the Gulf Coast this morning, too. Want to do that. Want to have a sense of, you know, what is it that makes us cool? How do we experience the Gulf Coast without locking ourselves in a spacesuit? This is a theme that I come back to a lot, and I think it's pretty important. Yeah, there was a study, and I'm trying to find the study. A scientist friend of mine pointed it out to me. I'll just take this little digression. But it's important. There was a study that showed that hospital rooms were having a bad problem with infections. And the infections were spreading because there were these bad bacteria, if you will, and molds and other things that were developing in the hospital rooms. So a person who had researched what happens with molds and bacteria said, you know, open your window. And they said, we can't open the window. If we open the window, we're going to have more molds and bacteria and other things coming into the house. That's into the hospital. That's a bad thing. She said, open the window. And she was a reputable scientist who had studied these things a lot. So they started opening windows. And you know what happened? They actually had to design hospitals with open windows. The rate of infection in the rooms where the windows could be opened declined, because we create these sterile environments and only the really bad stuff can persist there. We're going to seal ourselves off from what's happening outside. We're going to live in this spacesuit. And what happens is we get all of these weird infections because we're not exposed to the normal things that we're normally exposed to. And the bacteria that are bad are the ones that take over. Now, that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but that's essentially what's happening. And so I'm a firm believer in finding ways to live so that we get a sense of what life outside is like, life outside the spacesuit. How do we live? And so thinking about things like breezes is a nice thing to think about again, nice thing to think about as we get better. So here's the other thing. My tomatoes, they ain't doing so good. Maybe your tomatoes aren't doing so good anymore either. And of course, collards are gone, all that. We're going to start talking about collards. Next week, we got to hit them hard. We're going to talk about the greens. But here's what's happening. My okra is going berserk. I got so much okra. I don't want to say I've got more okra than I can use. I did say that earlier, and then I regretted saying it because okra is too good to say that you've got too much of it. You just can't have too much okra. But here's the thing. Maybe we want to figure out ways to cook okra that, you know, new ways of thinking about okra. And I've got several ways, but I said, Stu, call me this morning. Let's talk about okra. So what are you thinking, Stu? What is your favorite way of cooking okra right now?
Well, I think my favorite way is the same as everybody else in the South, which is fried.
But yeah.
There's so much more you can do with it than fried. You know, the three most common applications are gumbo, fried okra, and then okra and tomato stew together. And then we all grew up with that, and I kind of like to mix my stuff up when I do gumbo because there are so many people that are opposed to okra and gumbo, which makes no sense to me. I do fried okra as a garnish instead of actually putting in the gumbo so that I satisfy the okra requirement for gumbo, but people that don't like it don't have to deal with it. And it's surprising, most people who don't like okra will still eat it fried.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so that's interesting. You know, so the garnish idea is really interesting. And this is one thing I'm discovering. I really don't like to cook my okra too much. And in fact, people have heard me say this, and they're afraid to try it. The best okra, and I almost can't beat this, I will tell you. I go out in the garden every afternoon, and I pick the okra right off the plant, and I eat it right there in the garden. And I think, you know, it's not going to get any better than this.
Eating it raw is a big trend right now. I've had John from Fish River, who calls into our show on Sip and Chew from time to time, has messaged me about what is this new thing about eating okra raw.
Really?
And right. And, you know, really with most vegetables, that's probably the best way to do it. You probably know this better than most. A potato, nutritionally, is pretty much worthless once you cook it.
Well, it changes the nutrition of things. It changes the nutritional values. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad. But,
right.
You know, I'm just thinking about
it. It's just a good thing.
Right. And I just think about flavor, man. Flavor is so incredible with raw okra. And there's nothing unpleasant about it. So the other thing I'd recommend is okra. I think you appreciate this. Cut up those, particularly if you get the ridgy okra that I'm growing now, Hill Country Red or Alabama Red or Star of David, these with the strong ridges on them, they look like stars cut up, and you cut them
right,
and you just put them in salads, and they're absolutely delicious. Don't cook them, don't do anything, just slice them, put them in salads, and they're absolutely beautiful and delicious.
And I'm starting to see it pop up a lot, dehydrated as a crispy, healthy snack.
Huh.
Now where you can get it done, you know, just like they do with the English peas that have the wasabi on them or what have, which is really the only way I enjoy English peas.
Yeah, well, that's
the dried version.
But
they've made a crispy, healthy snack out of okra, not unlike kale chips.
Yeah.
I have seen it at Publix and Whole Foods, a number of stores like that. That's fantastic. But, you know, isn't it technically it's a berry?
Well, no, not really. I don't think so. I mean, well, I'd call it a fruit, but I don't think it's really quite a berry. I'll have to think about that. I mean, berry is kind of a specific kind of fruit in sort of.
Right.
But I wouldn't worry so much about what I'd call it is how I eat it. But it's good. You know, the seeds, and somebody was saying this. I bought some okra from a guy up in up in Tennessee, on the Tennessee line, where you were talking about earlier today, and he said, the reason why this okra is so good, he told me, is because the seeds are so big. And you know, I was sort of getting there in my head, but he sort of laid it out for me. The okra with the seeds have a lot of flavor. And they're those white things. They're very easy to chew. They're not at all unpleasant. So the seeds in okra are really about a lot where a lot of the flavor resides. A lot of that extra flavor is really coming out of those seeds. So that's good. You know, I wonder if the other thing I'm doing, Stu, and I like your thoughts on this is just putting them in a black skillet. And I do this with more and more vegetables. And I don't put any oil in there. Ooh. So I just put them in the black skillet. It's got to be a well-seasoned black skillet.
Right.
And I throw it in there, and I could throw it in there with some peppers and just kind of toast it there. Get it good and toasty, and then at the last, put in some oil. And that's been really good, too. And it's almost like fried okra, except it's a heck of a lot easier. Nice and crispy and brown, and yeah.
And what you're doing is something I like to do that with tomatoes. It's called blistering.
Yeah.
Where you get that little bit of char on the outside, but you're not messing with the interior of the vegetable or fruit because it's still essentially raw.
Yeah.
So you're getting the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And, you know, char, we're learning a little bit of burnt or char is a fantastic flavor. That's what makes New York City pizza better than any other thin crust is the char they get on the bottom of the crust. Charred onions are what make a lot of sandwiches now. So that little bit of char on the okra is going to, and what you get when you char something like that is you get a natural caramelization of the sugars that are inside whatever it is you're cooking. It's called the Maillard reaction.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is the secret to a great burger or a great steak or a caramelized onion. And why wouldn't it work with okra?
Yeah, it works really great. And here's so a lot of people I know, and more people are now talking about putting their okra on like a cookie sheet or a whatever you want to call it, putting it under the oven, 400 degrees, 425 degrees?
And just do a simple roast?
Just roasting it that way. And that's really good, too. You know, the other thing,
roasting is my preferred way to do most vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you get rid of a little of the excess water that's in it, and that concentrates the flavor that's there and the nutrients.
Yeah.
And you still get a somewhat firm but also a somewhat soft piece of vegetable. I like doing it with squash. I like doing it with root vegetables. Roasting, to me, is probably the best way to handle any vegetable. I just love it.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, we said, and you're going to help me when I do this, because I'm going to learn to make pizza next week. It's been too long. I'm almost 60 years old, and I don't know how to make pizza. Something is wrong. So here it is. I'm going to learn how to make pizza. And, you know, I think okra is going to be great on pizza.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Really? And I would do it with, like, a stewed tomato. Just stewed tomatoes, not a tomato sauce, but like stewed tomatoes, maybe with a little Cajun seasoning, and then as your sauce. So you've kind of emulated that stewed tomato and gumbo experience, but now it's a pizza.
You know what? We've had so much fun doing this, Stu, that we've kind of run into free time here. we're not letting anybody sell anything, so we got to let somebody sell something here. We're going to take a break. Stu, thanks for calling in. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Anytime, Bill.
We need to do this more often.
Y'all listen to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu right before this show,
because
we get a little crazy.
That's right. All right. Thanks. Good. Good to hear from you, Stu. With Sip and Chew right on before us. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back.
You can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail right round all the seven oceans, drop it straight into the deep blue sea. She's as sweet as Tupelo honey. She's an angel.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Well, skies will be partly cloudy today. Look for scattered afternoon thunderstorms with temperatures in the mid-90s. Tonight, isolated evening thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, scattered thunderstorms with highs in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Celebrate your independence during the month of July with a Liberty Safe during Mike Ward's Scratch and Dent Truckload Sale, now going on. Save hundreds on slightly blemished Liberty Safes with a lifetime replaceable warranty and a fire or attempted break-in. Best of all, have your Liberty Safe delivered up to 50 miles ground floor at no extra charge. Financing for 12 months at 0% interest is available with approved credit. Just look for the giant Liberty Safe at exit 5B, I-65 in Moffitt and Mobile. Call 471-1137.
This is Ronan McSherry from McSherry's Irish Pub and Restaurant in downtown Fairhope, where you can enjoy great food at a great price, meet your mates for a pint and a chat, or dance the night away with our DJ on Friday and Saturday nights starting at 10. Try our brilliant Blarney Burger, unforgettable Irish potato salad, homemade bread pudding, or it is said the best Reuben sandwich this side of the River Shannon. We open at 3 p.m. and close at 2 a.m. Non-smoking inside, but we have a lovely patio with big screen TVs where you can enjoy all sporting events. Every Sunday at 6 in the evening, we have a traditional Irish music session which attracts musicians from New Orleans to Seaside, Florida. Happy hour is 3 to 6 daily, so be sure to check out our website at www.mcsharries.com for specials. Come on down for a wee taste of Ireland at McSharries Irish Pub in Fairhope, Alabama. You can't miss us. We're the ones with the big leprechaun over the door. 101 North Bancroft Street on the Eastern Shore. 990-5100. McSharries Irish Pub.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, you know, I could talk about okra for a long time. I want to say, too, I've got lots of good okra. I've got lots of varieties of okra I'm trialing. There's several that I really like. It may be my absolute favorite okra are the ones with the stronger ridges, and it's just a prejudice of mine. For some reason, they tend to taste better. A lot of the ones with very deep ridges, and that includes varieties like Alabama Red, Clemson Spineless. This is what people buy, and it's fine. It's good. It's okay. But if you haven't tried the other okras, they really do have more flavor. Ew, I hate to say that to you, but it is true. The Clemson Spineless is not an extremely flavorful okra. The big varieties of okra with the strong ridges tend to have more flavor, I think, in general. And part of the flavor profile, not all of it, has to do with the big seeds. So things like Star of David and Hill Country Red, Alabama Red, and there are a few others, have really big seeds, and they're really good, really good. So, okra varieties, try some new okra varieties next year. If you haven't tried some new ones, try some new okra varieties from Southern Exposure or other places. The flavor profile really improves. And the nice thing about the ones with ridges is that they don't cook down into mush. Even after you cook them, they actually are really good. But they're crisp, they're nice, they're tender. They're actually amazingly tender, but crisp at the same time. They don't look like they're going to be tender because they got those big ridges. And then you bite into them and you say, gosh, this is really good. This is really tender. And they stay tender longer. They don't get – man, they're amazing things. Steamed okra is also very nice. And even boiled okra, nothing wrong with it. Don't boil it too long, I would say. But, steamed okra is very nice. One of the other things I did, Stu, in case you're still listening – is to, when you cook a pot of rice, if you still do it on the stove, which is a good way to do it, is as the rice is about half done, when the rice is about half done, just put your okra pods right on top. Don't stir them in, just put them right on top. flavors the rice just a little bit, cooks the okra to just about the consistency that you like, and it's really good to do that. And if you wait a little later, wait till it's three quarters done and put it in if you want it a little bit crisper, a little less. Nothing wrong with that. Lots of good ways to do okra. Okra and pizza. I think an okra pizza is one of the finest things in the whole world. Maybe okra and eggplant, too. And maybe I would use a white sauce. I don't know. The tomato sauce sounds good, but we're going to try this. So a new way of thinking about okra. We were also talking about pines. Rusty has sent me a picture of a pine that he likes a lot. Rusty, you know, there's seven species of pines in Alabama that are native. We have down here on the coast, we see four types very commonly. One is loblolly. That is probably the most common pine in Alabama right now, and it's been probably here along the coast. The second most common pine right now is slash pine. The third is probably longleaf. It used to be much more common than it is now. It's probably the most common pine in Alabama at one time, 150, 200 years ago. It's now probably one of the least common now. But it's more common here along the coast. And the fourth one is spruce pine, which is not related to spruce at all. Some people call it cherry bark pine. And it's really only native in the southern part of the state. It's a beautiful pine. If you want to see some, right there at Old Shell in the interstate, right there at that little business, the set of businesses, there's a bunch of spruce pine there. I think that spruce pine was really common in Rag Swamp. That's my bet. You still see it along the edges of the Delta in places. Really a cool pine that loves wetlands. All those pines do real well. I think loblolly has the most problems with disease. And that's the one problem with loblolly. It's a grow fast and die young tree, more so than maybe some of the other pines. But loblolly is a pine that so many of us grew up with. I can remember sitting under some loblolly stands on a little hill and just thinking and feeling those breezes come through, watching the breezes on the hill, just come up the hill around me on the loblolly and thinking, God, this is the best place in the whole world. This is as good a place as it gets. The smell of the pines, oh, it's a beautiful thing. Rusty, you got a loblolly, I'm pretty sure, right there. Slash is I like slash a little better for the Gulf Coast because it's more wind resistant. And why do I believe that? Go down and look at the pines on Dolphin Island. Look at the pines that are bordering Mississippi Sound and Heron Bayou and Porterville Bay. And what are those pines? They're slash pines. They are the ones who've gotten more hurricane hits than anything else. And those pines, I mean, some of those pines are more than a century old. It's one of the oldest, maybe some of the oldest forests left in Alabama are those slash pine forests. And they do an amazing job of standing up to hurricanes. I don't know that they're the best trees in hurricane situations, and the fact that they're in stands helps. But I'll tell you, on Dolphin Island, they've done it amazingly well. And with one exception, slash pine that, and look at Midtown, man, those big old pines in Midtown, they're all slash pines, really beautiful. With one exception, and that's fusiform rust, spruce pine has done very well in hurricanes. And of course, longleaf is a great tree, a very wind firm tree. We can talk more about it. A lot of different kinds of neat pines. Kitty, I'm listening. What's up?
Well, when I was a girl, my mother and daddy always had a great big garden. And at the beginning of the season of the butter beans and the pole beans, there was usually not enough to make a mess.
Yeah.
So Mama would mix butter beans, pole beans, and there were always just a few little pods of okra available. Put them on top, and it would be the best pot of vegetables you ever had.
That is the way to do it. That is a great thing. And you know, that's the way to do it, isn't it? So I have it's kind of a succotash, isn't it? I guess you'd call it a succotash. I've been thinking about what to call it because that's the kind of cooking I do all the time. I go out and pick in the garden. I get what I can get, and then I got to put it all together somehow. But that is the best way.
Right. I, being a girl, I was not really fond of the okra, And I don't think Mama put it in quite at the beginning because it was not mushy.
Right.
I mean, well, it was very done, but it was not disintegrating.
Right.
But my daddy adored it. My daddy got the bulk of it.
Right. Well, I love okra, and I love okra. I love okra when it's nicely cooked and when it's a little sloppy, if I can say that. I love it that way, too. But these new ways of making okra are sort of an accommodation to increasing other people's likes of it. But I got to where I really like that roasty flavor of some of these other ways of cooking okra.
I have a question,
yes,
Bill,
ma'am.
About pines.
Yes, ma'am.
I have an old pine. I mean an ancient pine.
Yeah.
The bark plates on the trunk are big as my hand.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to identify it. So what is a distinction of slash or loblolly? I think it probably would be slash, but...
Well, it's in the needle length. If the trunk is really red, one of the ways I can tell if it's slash is that the trunk is it's the reddish orange. It's the most consistently red orange of all the pines that we get here along the Gulf Coast.
The bark is the, red, reddish?
Reddish orange. And that's one good way. Of course, slash pine cones are larger than loblolly cones.
No, these are very small.
Yep, yep. And
I mean, the tree is huge, and it has these little 2 or 3 inch cones.
Yeah. Now, so there's another possibility that's very interesting, and I didn't mention it because it's not as common down here. Little common as you get far north is shortleaf pine. Are the needles very short? Are the cones very short?
The cones are very short. I really, the needles look just like pine to me from the ground. And I know they're not longleaf, but... I'll try to pay attention.
Well, you know what I think you may have is shortleaf pine, which is another great pine that I love a lot. It's a beautiful pine and much to be cherished. Pine, I would say slash pine and shortleaf pine are the pines with the two most beautiful barks. The other way to tell if it's shortleaf, here's a quick way to do it, and Charlie's going to get on to me because I keep pushing these brakes. But listen, here's a quick way to do it. Go outside on the tree, and you can do this now, and you can call me back. And look on the bark, and if you see these little tiny craters, I mean, they're tiny. They're about the size of pinheads, but you'll see these little tiny craters all around the bark. If you see those little tiny craters, about the size of a pinhead, maybe just a little larger, you know it's shortleaf.
What creates the...
It's just a feature of the bark. It's not an insect or anything. It's just it's a feature of shortleaf bark. And so go do that, and let's see if you see it. And then if you see any needles on the ground, pick them up and let's measure them, or any cones, and then measure them and come back and let's talk about it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right, Kitty. Good to hear from you.
Yes, yes.
All right, JP, hold on. We're coming back. Boy, I haven't heard from you in a while.
This is Chris Francis, board-certified master arborist at Chris Francis Tree Care. Trees are such a valuable part of your property. Want to know how to keep pest problems away from your trees? Start by keeping them healthy, making sure they're growing in a favorable environment, providing the proper nutrients, and maintaining the appropriate pH. Meanwhile, certain pests attack perfectly healthy plants. Timely applications of oils, soaps, insecticides, fungicides, and fertilizers will significantly improve survivability. But the key is having knowledgeable experts making regular site visits to catch or prevent problems before they occur, all while protecting the pollinators and beneficials. Does this sound overwhelming? Let our plant health care professionals do it for you. Call 4TREE. That's F-O-R-T-R-E-E. Chris Francis Tree Care. Online, chrisfrancistreecare.com, or find us on Facebook. Or call 367-8733, 251-4TREE.
At Hardee's, slider time is all the time. Starting with huge flavor. Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage. Fluffy eggs and melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Get two for $2.99 all morning. Then keep the day going with our charbroiled beef sliders layered with melty cheese on a toasted bun. That's big burger flavor starting at just $1.25. We ain't on Pacific time. This is slider time. All day, every day. Bring your hunger to Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
Contests on FM Talk 106.5 are open to persons 18 years of age or older. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Void where prohibited by law. Unless otherwise stated, all prizes must be claimed in person at FM Talk 106.5 studios during regular business hours. All prizes must be claimed within 14 days of winning. No substitution is permitted, and for all prizes with a value over $600, winners must complete a prize claim form. Present a valid Social Security number and will be issued an IRS Form 1099 for the fair market value. Winners are responsible for all applicable title and registration fees and any state, local, and federal taxes. FM Talk 106.5 WAVH, their employees, owners, and agents are not responsible for liabilities arising directly or indirectly from the award or use of the prize. Bigler Broadcasting reserves the right to revise these rules at any time. For a complete copy of the FM Talk 106.5 official contest rules, visit us during regular business hours. 900 Western America Circle, Suite 106, Mobile.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
You know, I've been thinking, Slash Pine suffers from not a great name. Isn't that right? So, Slash, I guess I can kind of understand why it's... No, I don't really understand why it was called Slash Pine.
Kind of like slash and burn.
Yeah, well, there's a slash was an old Southern term too that meant sort of thick woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thickets and slash. I guess maybe slash pine, maybe got that name because it did tend to grow in maybe it grew in areas that didn't burn as frequently. So the only places you saw slash pine would be in thickets where you didn't get a lot of fire, and it would be maybe that's how it got its name. Slash meaning thicket. But gosh, what a beautiful pine. And if it had a better name, you know, Caribbean pine was a name that was given to this pine for a long time until we found out there were more than one type of Caribbean pine. But it's very closely related to the Caribbean pines. It's a beautiful pine. Caribbean pine would be a nice pine name for it. Look at the callers lining up. JP, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, man. Hey, I got a confession to make.
Yes, sir.
I hadn't been listening as I should have.
Oh, JP.
And I'm going to blame it on an old gal. I say an old gal. She might be younger than I think. Lots younger. Her name is Alexa.
Oh, no.
You know all about her, I'm sure.
Oh, no. So Alexa wouldn't let you listen to me. Is that what you're telling me? She was jealous.
She just took my mind off.
Yeah.
Well, I like a lot. I like music and, of course, the music I like is,
yeah,
like me, it's kind of old, but I love it, and you don't get it on the radio
much. Right.
But
right.
Anyway, after blaming Alexa, I whatever reason, I wish I was living close to you, Bill. I'd come over there, I'd pick oak before you start in the daybreak and go till sunset, if I could, and I'd help you eat it.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had bad luck with our oak this year. We usually have very good luck. We just got a small backyard garden.
Yeah.
And somebody said, since it's not growing, it's like a foot high or so in almost 3 months in the ground. Somebody said, you might need some lime in your soil. Could that be the case?
I doubt it's lime. You know, there are several things that can afflict okra, but, you know, I don't even use much nitrogen. Okra doesn't need a lot of nitrogen.
Yeah.
And it uses a little bit, but not a lot. Here's where I grow my okra. I always make sure that it's got plenty of organic matter, and that seems to be the big thing. Okra is very susceptible to something called nematodes, which are these little microscopic worms in the soil that you can't see. And they play a big role in what grows well. And so if you're having a problem with okra, particularly if it's stunted, you know, it could be rainfall, probably not nitrogen so much, certainly not lime, but probably maybe nematodes would be my first bet. So here's the thing. Nematodes are hard to get rid of. You don't get rid of them. They're always with us. What you want to do is you want to create situations that discourage them. Don't plant your okra in the same place. Where you plant your okra next year, add lots of organic matter, okay?
Yeah.
And so put your, you know, get your okra beds ready this fall. Get you a bunch of leaves. Lay them out. Let them rot down. Plant your okra there next year. It's going to take off.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. One of the main things I was calling you about is a fall garden. As far as cucumbers, we didn't have a whole lot of cucumbers, but we had enough to keep a small family going here, just a few plants in the backyard.
Yeah.
And first of all, we thought that bees were not doing their work in pollinating. But after a while, you know, one, two, three at a time.
That's right.
It's, you know, enough for just a family of three. So, yeah, there's long, skinny ones, and they are so good.
Oh, that's good. Well, you know, if you can keep them going now, they'll really pick up again with these cool weather coming up next week, over the next week and a half. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a lot of cucumbers getting set. People's tomatoes are going to do better, too, but cucumbers will set more when the temperatures are a little cooler.
Is it okay to put cucumber seeds in some ground now and get them started for the fall, or...?
You know, that's a good idea. I think that's a fine idea. I think I would do that. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about scattering the planting, you know, whatever they're rotating or whatever, like planting maybe just a few seeds today in some pots.
Yeah.
And a week or 10 days later, a few more just to
see. Don't wait too long because it takes a while. I would go ahead and get the okra started this week or next week and start all one. Yeah, the cucumbers. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and that way you'll have enough of it. I wouldn't stagger it because actually, if it starts as soon as it starts producing, it's going to produce all fall.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get, you know, just get it producing as quick as you can, you're going to have a bigger problem with bugs during fall than you had during spring because the beetles and other things are going to be a little worse. But I think it's worth a shot. And then of course, once you get past late September, you're not going to have a problem with bugs at all. So you're going to have great cucumbers all fall.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good, Bill. I appreciate the time. It's really good to hear you. I'm going to try to listen to 103.5 more often. You come on at 9.
Yeah, 9 to 11, JP. Yeah. And, you know, you need to listen to music, too. That's a good thing. But if you get a chance, check in with us. Hey, here's some good old music. This is Bamboola. JP, we got to take a break. We're going to be back. Bruce, Chris, Sherry, I'm so sorry I missed you. We're going to be back as soon as the news is over. Let's listen to Bamboola.